Now, time now for our monthly Citizens Information Service. Kirsty Novak from the Tralee office is with us on the line. Good afternoon, Kirsty.
Hi, Deirdre.
We're going to talk about a lot of things this afternoon, but since it was on our radar earlier in the week, we're going to talk a little bit about young people and their rights when they get a summer job or start working. First of all, how young can they actually start and get a summer job, and how many hours can they do?
Yeah, so you can start a job at 14, like now this is like obviously like summer jobs as opposed to working full time.
Yeah.
But young people can work at 14, and I suppose now there are lots of jobs out there. There are a lot of people that will take younger workers on, and they might think then, God, can I take them on at this age? Am I legally allowed to? So yes, you are. 14 and 15, they would be classified like as, I suppose, they're still like children, whereas then the 16 and 17 year olds would be classified as young workers. But basically 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, they can all have jobs, summer jobs, weekend jobs, and they would be during the summertime, they could work the 14 and 15 year olds, they could work 35 hours a week in the holidays. But then during, say, term time, when they're back at school, like certainly a 15-year-old could work 8 hours a week, but a 14-year-old can't. So the 14-year-old can't work during school time, but they can work for up to 35 hours a week during holidays.
Okay, so 35 hours a week is quite a lot, yeah, for a 14-year-old. So let's say your 14-year-old gets a job for the summer, for argument's sake, let's say in a supermarket. What do you need to make sure is done properly in terms of, you know, tax and their breaks and how they're treated at work, their rates of pay, all that type of thing?
Yeah, so anyone under 18, the employer isn't obliged to pay the full rate. So at the moment, the minimum wage is $10.50. So for a young person under the age of 18, they are only actually guaranteed 70%. Off the minimum wage, so that's just over €7 an hour. Now, an employer can pay more than that, but they're not obliged to. So so that's one thing to be aware of. Now, just because they're children, just because they're under 18, that's not cash in hand. It still has to be, I suppose, like it should still be legitimate. So the first thing that you would be doing, and I just did it recently for one of my own kids, the first thing you'd be doing is registering them with Revenue, and, you know, setting them up. So they all have PPS numbers. They have that from birth in Ireland. So they have a PPS number. So you'll set them up on my account on Revenue. You'll go after, like, as the parent or the child, we'll get the registered number from the employer and put that on Revenue. Now, when they're under 16, they won't have a contribution. There won't be a stamp being put up for them by the employer. That only kicks in when they're 16. There'll be no PRSI paid for them. But they are still liable to pay tax if they earn over the amount. Now, again, it's unlikely they're going to be earning more than a couple of €100 a week. So it's unlikely that they're going to have to pay tax once they're registered, like with Revenue. So the key thing to any parent out there that has a child that's starting a summer job, set them up on my account straight away, because their employer, you know, like if they've not got their tax credits, if they're not set up at Revenue, they will pay tax, and they'll pay it. It'll be emergency tax, so they'll be really upset when their first couple of pay packets like are very little because they've been paid tax. Get them set up on Revenue as a starter. They're unlikely to have to pay tax given the amount they'd be earning. Like I said, the employer doesn't have to pay them the minimum wage, but they should be paying them minimum of 70% of the minimum wage.
Okay. And what about things like break times and the hours they can work?
Yeah.
You know, we'll say if they're in the hospitality industry, because I know there's some rule about they can't work past a certain time at night if they're very young.
Yeah, so basically when they're under 16, for example, a break time, so an adult should have a break of half an hour of like a break after 4.5 hours of work. But when you're under 16, you should have a half an hour break after 4 hours of work. And with an adult worker, I suppose we would be getting, we should get 11 consecutive rest hours, you know, from one day to another. But for a child under 16, they should get 14 consecutive hours off. So they should get more of a rest. Now, and then children, young adults or young people between 16 and 17, they would get a half an hour break after 4.5 hours, and they should have 12 consecutive hours off. So again, somebody over 18 would be getting 11 consecutive hours off. Now, young people, again, they're not supposed to work before 8 a.m. in the morning or after 8 p.m. at night. But like then, look, you've got people working in restaurants and licensed premises, and there are kind of exceptions in those cases. Like a parent should be given their consent for any child under the age of 16 to work. Like I had to sign a consent form for one of my children there recently. They should be given consent for them to work, but certainly they shouldn't be working. They shouldn't be serving alcohol. They shouldn't be pulling pints, you know, under the age of 18. They shouldn't be, you know, they can be clearing off glasses, and I suppose they shouldn't be there after. After 11 o'clock. Yeah. Well, children, younger children, 8 o'clock. But there would be exceptions. It depends. If it's a restaurant and they don't close till 9, you know, but the kids, they shouldn't be out till midnight.
There's a couple of questions that have come in about this very topic, Kirsty. A listener says, should my 16-year-old daughter be getting a pay slip, or is this only for workers over 18?
No, it's everybody. Like, your daughter should absolutely be getting a payslip, and she should have the same terms of employment as anybody else, and it should list all about break times and everything. It's the same. She's still working in an establishment. She should have it all laid out. You know, like what make it clear, and payslips, and like just because she's not be paying tax, she's still entitled to a payslip. A payslip will still be there to show her if she had any deductions or how many hours she worked. So she should absolutely be having a payslip. She's perfectly entitled to have that.
Another person wants to know, do I still need to register a 15-year-old with Revenue? Well, you answered that already, didn't you?
Yeah. So what you do, again, it's simple enough, revenue.ie, my account, and then you're registering them. So it's register now. So you put in their PPS number, their date of birth, and they'll send you out a password after 5 working days, and then you can set them up then on Revenue. And what will happen there is they'll ask, really, will their earnings be under, I think, around 13,000 in the year? And then that means you're already exempt from universal social charge. And you know, then the tax credits then will be sent to the employer, so then they'll know that she's not going to be paying tax. But look, you know, you do need to do it. Otherwise, you know, if it's a legitimate business and if they're putting these people through the books, then you know, you're going to be paying emergency tax. So get on to that. If they're starting a job soon, get on to it now. Get them registered with Revenue.
Another listener says, my 15-year-old son has just got himself a summer job in a restaurant. How many hours a week can he work legally?
Yeah. So it's 35 hours.
30, you said that, Yeah.
So like, look, it's like, yeah.
And I know he can't pull pints, but he can serve food, presumably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course they can serve food, and take orders. And yeah. So that's what they're all doing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Kirsty, we're going to take a quick break. We've lots more questions, and indeed I want to turn our attention to a few more topics as well that we want to touch on this afternoon. If listeners have any questions for Kirsty from the Tralee Citizens Information Office, you can call Padraig on 066 712 3666, and remember, you can also send us an email if you like. The email address is talkabout@radiokerry.ie. Now, we're with Kirsty Novak from Citizens Information. We have been talking so far about the rights of young workers who have summer jobs. Before we leave that broader subject completely, Kirsty, a listener from North Kerry wants to know, what is the situation with tips earned from customers? Is the employer to add them into a person's pay packet as part of their weekly pay?
Yeah, no. So, like, there's no legislation around tips and gratuities that staff would get in restaurants and bars. You're not automatically entitled to the tips, but either you're not obliged to give them to your employer either. So you kind of look at what the custom is in the place. So, for example, you might say every tip goes into a jar and it's divvied out amongst all the staff at the end of the week. It might be all tips, you know, from tables that you serve or your own. It's what's the custom and practice in the place you work in. Now, there is going to be a change. There was a bill drafted up there earlier this year, and that once that becomes law, that will give employees new legal rights with regard to their tips, both cash and card tips. So that will be a change up and coming, who knows when, but it's there, it's been drafted. So that'll give more clarity. But at the moment, I suppose you look at what happens in the place you work in. You know, like if you wait on a table and if somebody leaves you a fiver or a tenner, should that be your fiver or tenner? You know, you need to see what the policy is in the place and make sure, I suppose, that they're being split if you have to share it out with everybody. Because don't forget, the kitchen staff don't get any tips, and sure, they're working hard. So it might be a case that you know, it gets shared equally amongst everybody twice a week or once a week or whatever. But like if the employer puts it into, if the employer actually puts it officially on a pay slip, if the employer takes part of the charge of that and puts it on a pay slip, then that would be taxable income. So I suppose just to be aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to move on now, Kirsty, because I know there's going to be some changes regarding in July about parents' leave, which you want to touch on. But first of all, you might just remind us of the difference between parents' leave and parental leave, because they're two different things, aren't they?
They are. So the parental leave is 26 weeks per parent. It's unpaid leave that you can take before your child is 12, or if you've a child with a disability, until that child is 16. And it's there for, look, it can be taken in any few number of ways. You could take it in one big block. You could take it, over the summers. It depends on your employer and what way they will allow you to take it. Sometimes people take it 2 days of the week, you know, when the baby is small. So that's parental leave. It's unpaid, but you have an entitlement with both parents do. And it's 26 weeks until the child reaches 12. So then parents' leave was the new leave that came in a few years ago. And it started off initially as 2 weeks, and then it went up to 5 weeks. And now in July, it's going to be 7 weeks. And that's like an extension in a way of maternity leave. In other words, it's paid. So it's going to be paid, the leave isn't paid, but the parents' benefit that's linked to it is paid at €250 a week. So now that can be taken in either seven weeks per child under the age of two. And both parents have that. So, you could take 7 weeks together, or you could take 2 weeks this year and 5 weeks just before the child reaches two. And then you apply for the parents' benefit separately, and that's paid. I suppose just to make sure that you need to do this all in writing to your employer about 6 weeks before you want to take it. So if somebody wants to take the couple of weeks extra that are coming up in July, say you've taken your 5 weeks already and you want to avail of the new 2 weeks, you do need to write to the employer about 6 weeks beforehand, inform them of the start date, the end date, and the employer could postpone it. They could say, look, it's not a good time, we're short of staff, and they could put it off. So, that's the thing about the parents' leave, that it doesn't necessarily, you might want it for June, but they might say, can't give it to you for June, I'll give it to you in September. You know, it's down to the employer to approve the time you want as well.
Just moving on to some more questions for you, Kirsty. We're back to the whole issue of young people working again, and this is a tricky one, but maybe you can point this person in the right direction. Lister says that their grandchild was working in a hotel in Kerry waiting tables, and a group left without paying, and the bill was taken out of her wages. And this person, the grandparent, wants to know, is that right or lawful?
Like, it's not like, you know, look, you're not. You're entitled to be paid for what you work. Now, was it in the terms of employment? Was it in, like, that child, even though it's under 18 child, they were still entitled to know what the policy was. Was it ever written somewhere? If you break a cup, it gets taken out your wages. If somebody leaves without paying, you have to pay it. If they never got informed of that, then it's not right that they took it. Yeah. And certainly they could take a case to the Workplace Federation for unlawful deduction of wages. You know, there is actually a complaint you can make to the Workplace Relations for unlawful deduction of wages. So, and secondly, it's a bit mean to ask a child to be running after customers to pay.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, it's...
To be fair, the grandparent didn't say how old their grandchild was. Their grandchild could be 22 for all we know. But even so, it seems very unfair, doesn't it?
You're entitled to, within a month of starting your work, you're entitled to the terms of employment. What happens, you know, about, you know, when pay is paid, and, you know, does something come out of your pay slip on a weekly basis to pay for a uniform? That should all be set out in your terms of employment. You know, you need to know. And again, if there's something there about breakages or people leaving without paying, you're entitled to know that. Otherwise, you know, they're not allowed. They can't just deduct your wages if you've not been aware that they could do that.
Yeah. A listener says, I've only been working a couple of Saturdays in the month. What are my entitlements in relation to holidays?
Well, it's the same as any hours you work. Like, you know, there's 8% of the hours you work in a year. So again, if you're working Saturdays, you know, and you know, I suppose you're looking at it over the year. I mean, 8%, if they've worked like a month and it's 24 hours, you know, they could have 8% of that. Like, I mean, they wouldn't be getting much, you know. But you are certainly entitled to something. For every hour you're working, you're entitled to something. And again, that should be laid out in the terms of employment. So your employer should have given you that. And they should be telling you, you know, what annual leave you will get, what kind of time off you would have. But like, if they're only working Saturdays and it's only been a few Saturdays, they probably wouldn't have much annual leave accrued there.
Yeah, exactly. Kirsty, you want to remind us about getting parents getting themselves organised for the back to school clothing and footwear allowance.
Yeah, well, just again, look, there's lots of different people now that might have become eligible, that maybe you mightn't have applied for it in the past. You know, like, they're making it more, I suppose they've increased the amount they're giving on the back to school clothing and footwear allowance. The applications lines opened recently. If you automatically get it every year, then you will be getting it in July. But if, for example, you don't normally get it, and you don't know about it, it is a help with the cost of, you know, towards uniforms for children from the age of 4 up to when they're up to 22 if they're still in full-time education. So if you're on any bit of a social welfare payment, or if you're on a training course, you know, then it's worth applying for it, because, you know, even with 2 children or 3 children, the income threshold is €716 for 3 children. So if your income is under that and you're on some form of a social welfare payment, you know, you could get this. So you can apply for it online if you've never had it before. And that's on the welfare.ie, apply for back to school clothing and footwear allowance.
I'm just going to fit one more question in, Kirsty, because we're running out of time. But this is an interesting one. A listener says, my washing machine has broken. I don't have the money to replace it. Is there anything I can apply for?
Yeah, so I suppose that person hasn't mentioned if they're on a social welfare payment or if they're on a very low income. Well, they've said they can't afford to pay for the washing machine. But there is the additional needs payment that's been, I suppose, it's received a lot of media coverage recently from the Department of Social Protection. It's like the exceptional needs payment and urgent needs payment all together. And it's for people who are working and maybe on a low income or getting a social welfare payment. And it can cover anything, you know, like an increase in fuel, a tank of oil, funeral costs, repairing like washing machines or cookers, beds. So that's through the community welfare officer, and the community welfare officers, they're linked to the Intreo office. So we have application forms for that, for the additional needs payment. We have them in our centres, or you could get one directly from the Department of Social Protection. And they would look for stuff. They would look for example, your PPS number, and they would look for, like, proof of address, like a household bill, and they would look for maybe for proof of income, so, like, maybe a bank statement. But it's a case-by-case assessment. So, you know, there's no hard and fast rule, you know, just because somebody got it doesn't mean you'll get it, or vice versa. So, look, if somebody's strapped for, you know, look, there are big expenses, and if somebody's can't meet the cost of it, then it sounds like they could do with it. So they should certainly put an application in.
Yeah, exactly. Kirsty, we're out of time, but before we let you go, you might just remind us of your number that people can phone if they need any advice.
Yeah, so our phone number is 0818 077 760. 0818 077 760. We're gradually opening for appointments, and, you know, look, if people come to the door, if they want to form, knock on the door, and we can certainly have a chat with somebody at the door or bring them in. So, but we can certainly offer appointments for more lengthy queries, and, like, the phone calls. If somebody phones, leaves their number and a brief sort of query or description of their query, we'll get back to them the same day, or
perfect,
at least the next, you know. So, yeah, so look, you know, and like I said, if you need to call to the door and feel, just have a chat with us, look, we'll do our best to accommodate people as well.
Great stuff. Kirsty, thank you very much for that, and we look forward to talking to you again later on in the year. That is Kirsty Novak there from Tralee Citizens Information Office. We're on 0667123666 if you want to give us a shout this afternoon. Coming up after the break, we have our Toba restaurant competition for you. Fabulous prizes up for grabs there. And we'll also be talking about strange tidal activities on the southern coast of Ireland earlier this week. What exactly was happening?